right now it's time for our first Sunday Roundtable. I want to thank my beloved Roundtable participants for being so kind, taking a little time from them for the playlist story. But anyway, they're here. Dean Meyerson of the Green Party, Paul Carlson, Democrat, Maryland House of Representatives, along with James Pamali, who is Republican, NorthernVirginiaGOP.com, and he has more to say than just the .com. Nicholas Sawick, Libertarian, who has an announcement also, besides Kathleen Kennedy Townsend. He wants equal time. He is with the Maryland Libertarian Party. Gents, thank you very much for being with us. How you doing?
Doing
Thanks
great.
For having us.
That's good. I'm glad you all are here. And thank you again for, while time's cut. We got to talk fast. Telephone number 301-230-0980, #980 in the Verizon wireless system. Absolutely free call on Verizon. All right. The big story today has to do with the fact that, and skipping everything else we wanted to talk about, we want to get to Maryland politics. Kathleen Kennedy Thompson, is she a shoo-in? That's my question.
Yes. No, she's not a shoo-in. There, we've covered our 28 minutes. No, absolutely not. We welcome her into the race finally after dithering around for years. She's decided that she's going to actually announce and run for governor. But I think that shows what type of governor she'd be if she can't make decisions and it takes this long. How would she do in the governor's mansion?
Okay.
Whoa. Unlike other candidates out there, we have a candidate in Kathleen Kennedy Townsend who has been governing over the past 8 years, and she's been focused on those issues.
What state would that be in?
That would be in she's worked on a number of substantive issues, and she waited until the people's business was done this last legislative session before announcing her candidacy. I don't know what kind of politician the Republicans want, but I want somebody who's going to focus on the job that needs to be done, and then when it comes campaign time, to announce that and go out and talk to the voters about it.
Well, I think
not beforehand.
I think a candidate that's worked legislatively, a candidate who knows what he believes, and a candidate that doesn't change his views. I think that's what you want. You want somebody who has a base. They know what they want to do, and they make decisions. I mean, if you're going to be governor, you have to make some decisions.
And we're talking about Bob Ehrlich, who is a Republican running out of Montgomery County.
He's a wonderful candidate. Bob Ehrlich is going to be the next governor of Maryland.
He's very moderate. Will that cause any of a problem for the Democrats?
You know, I think as the campaign goes along, while Bobby Ehrlich is a nice person, I think the voters are going to find that, in fact, he might talk a good game, a moderate game. But when you look at his voting record, you're going to find that he's a rather conservative person, and his views are going to be out of alignment with those in the voters.
What about the Libertarian Party?
I think that you know, they both sound like very nice people, but Speer Lancaster is the only candidate in this race who's really offering a choice.
Who is
for the
Speer Lancaster?
Voters. Speer Lancaster is a Libertarian candidate for governor. He's within 10,000 signatures of the onerous filing requirement in Maryland to be on the ballot. And he's looking to offer a choice to Maryland voters for the first time in 36 years.
Okay. Now, the Green Party, you don't have a candidate for the gubernatorial race.
No, the Maryland Green Party, which actually is having its state convention this weekend, is not running a gubernatorial candidate this year. They've had enormous growth since the Nader campaign in 2000. They're running a number of candidates for state legislature this year.
Okay. I'll telephone number 301-230-0980, #980, on the Verizon wireless system. Absolutely free call as we talk with our panelists on our first Sunday Roundtable debate, and you are part of the debate, so get online and voice your opinion or just voice your concerns. We'd like to hear from you. 301-230-0980, #980, on Verizon, absolutely free call. The question is, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, is she a shoo-in? And the Democrats say she's the best candidate. Republicans say hold the line just a little bit. There's a lot, though, about Townsend that a lot of people don't like. Number one, she broke away from Glenn Denning's stance on the ICC, the interconnect, the highway. She also frowned on some things like gambling in Maryland. What do you think about gambling in Maryland?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to agree with our nominee on everything. I'm opposed to gambling, to government-sponsored gambling. I oppose the lottery in Virginia in 87.
You opposed the lottery?
I opposed the lottery. And, in fact, a side story on that, the reason they passed it was they promised two things in the legislation. One, that they would not be doing advertising to promote gambling, and we've all seen the Lady Luck commercials, so they actually broke the law to do that.
And she's rather cute, myself.
Yes, but it encourages people, particularly folks with less money, to gamble on a dream, which is a 170 million shot. So I'm opposed to gambling.
Well, let me just
say sponsored
that,
gambling.
Well, it's interesting that you hear the criticism of Kathleen Kennedy Towson that she doesn't make up her mind or make up decisions, and you just cited, Jerry, two cases in point where she has taken a lead and stepped out. And I say amen to both. I mean, I'm glad that she's come out in support of the Intercounty Connector. It's time for Montgomery County to move forward on our transportation infrastructure, and she's broken with the governor, I think, on a position that was not the best interest of certainly those in Montgomery County.
We've heard a couple times politicians say they support the Intercounty Connector until the rubber hits the road and they actually get into office, at which point they reconsider or lock it up in lots of studies. So I'm not entirely sure that a lieutenant governor from this administration is going to change much.
How many billions of dollars is this per mile again? I mean, we've had a lot of freeway building around this country, and we've seen that what it lets happen really is more people get stuck in traffic. It really doesn't get anybody anywhere quicker. And so some people may realize that, but then they run. And it's understandable that a lot of the voters want this because it looks like a cure, but it just doesn't work.
Okay, and talking about cures, is there a cure for Connie Morella, 8th District Republican, who might be in trouble, number one, because of redistricting, but also Mark Shriver, who is running against him on the Democratic ticket, another Kennedy in Montgomery County or in Maryland, has been endorsed by the AFL-CIO this past week. What are Connie Morella's chances? Does she look like she's in trouble?
I think she's in big trouble. And I think that endorsement is a key endorsement, and I think it's going to carry through to the general election. That was a primary endorsement. But I think she's in big trouble. I think the last election with Terry Learman, she almost lost. This was a guy who hadn't been around, hadn't served in public office, did not have a base, and got 47% of the vote. Mark Shriver has been around for 8 years. He's got a base behind him. He's got a record. He certainly is able to raise the funds, and now we're seeing that some pretty key endorsements.
Key endorsements would be all the Democrats that are endorsing Connie Morella, including folks like Mayor Williams in D.C. who are having fundraisers for her. I mean, if that's not a broad-based campaign, I got to tell
but an accurate one.
The Democratic Party is full of folks who thought they were going to be the one to beat Connie Morella, and Connie keeps winning. She represents her district, and why in the world would the voters of her district trade in a senior member of Congress who can deliver in a Republican Congress with a Republican president? If you want to talk about someone who can deliver, why would you go with a freshman Democrat in a situation where you have a Republican majority and a Republican president?
After the Democrats managed to gerrymander a district out so that her voters actually can't vote for her anymore, I would hope she's in trouble. I think that once you stack the deck like that, you might as well be able to get her out of office.
Is that true, Paul, that they stacked the deck?
Well, look, to some extent, quite frankly, redistricting is a political process, and I think her district is going to be tougher. I'm not saying anything out of school, look, she's in trouble, and we're going to beat her this time.
I think her constituents are in trouble.
But I'll tell you something that James brought up. Why would the constituency choose to oust her and put in a freshman? The fact of the matter is that her first vote puts in a Republican leadership in the House, in the federal House, and so voters are becoming more acutely aware of what that means for their kids' education, what it means for their transportation, and they're not going to vote to have somebody who, although is a nice person, has been around for a long time, continues to put a leadership in that does not have the same philosophy as the community that she represents.
She delivers for her county. She delivers for her district. This is a woman who's going to win re-election because she serves the voters.
Is she so popular because she takes a moderate stand? I mean, this is one of the reasons why she's very popular.
She reflects her district. She reflects her district very well. And, you know, bottom line is she can deliver. You've got the hands of control of the government are Republicans in the Congress, Republicans in the White House. That's not going to change after this election. If you want someone who can go and get the money, get the projects back to the district, vote for Connie Morella.
Dean, this whole thrust of upsetting the House of Representatives, that's the whole story behind the Connie Morella thing. Republicans, they want to take the control away. What about the Green Party? What are you guys saying?
Well, you know, what we're hearing here, they're saying she's delivering. What is she delivering? I mean, is this port projects or what? I mean, I don't know that we're having a lot of difference here, and the House is very evenly divided, and I think that the two of us here from the smaller parties are looking to have an influence on this year.
Let's talk with Robert and Sterling. Good morning, Robert.
Yeah, hi, Jerry. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you very much.
Listen, I just have a couple of comments. I think Kathleen Townsend is probably perfect for Maryland. You know, old school kind of tax and spend Democrat, and Maryland seems to enjoy that kind of thing. Also, I'd like to, as far as the redistricting and gerrymandering, yeah, that is a political process, but I was surprised that the Democrats weren't rewarding their African-American constituency in this year's redistricting plan. If anybody could comment on that.
Well, Mike Miller has some issues with wanting to keep his seat.
Well, you know, can I just start with the tax and spend issue?
Okay.
The fact of the matter is that I was elected to the Maryland House of Delegates in 98, and every year since I've been in office, our income taxes have been going down 10%, 2% over the past 5 years now. And at the same time, we've been able to do lots of wonderful things, to put money into higher education, put money into K-12, into early childhood. We need to do more on transportation. So the fact of the matter is we've had a balanced approach in Maryland. Our taxes have been going down every single year, which is an impressive feat at the same time.
Thank you, Alan Sowerbrey, for scaring Paris Glendening.
We've had a balanced approach of lowering taxes and increasing spending, and it's coming home to roost.
Well, that's the federal policy.
That's the Maryland policy.
I think we're in pretty good shape.
Tuition increases in the Maryland school, in the Maryland university system.
You will not find an administration that's put more money into higher education than the Glendening Towson administration. It's just that's a falsehood.
Where do we get it from?
We get it from, what do you mean, where do we get it from? We get it from the taxpayers.
But we're lowering taxes and increasing spending. How's that work?
We've had had the benefits of a great economy over the
now that the economy is slowing. What do we do?
You've got to love it. These are the guys. It's just amazing. Dean Myerson, Green Party, Paul Carlson, Democrat, also Maryland House of Representatives, James Parmalee, who is Republican, Northern Virginia GOP.com, and Nicholas Sawalk, Libertarian, Maryland Libertarian Party Chair. And they're all here this morning to answer your questions. If you have questions or comments, don't like the way the politics are going, give us a call at 301-230-0980, pound 980 in the Verizon Wireless System. Absolutely free call, and our lines are open, so we have a few more minutes, and we're going to get questions and comments in, so give us a call. Okay, we've kicked around local politics, guys. Let's move on to the Homeland Security. A lot of questions about Homeland Security. Tom Ridge's security plans prove anything about Homeland Security? Are we safer today than we were yesterday?
It proves that we're really good at the sound and fury of looking like we're more secure, while at the same time curbing our civil liberties and not doing anything to actually make the people of America more secure.
Washington Post this morning, all of the news media this morning, printing an interesting story on Homeland Security. Let me read, we read it here on Metro Talk. Authorities are telling Midwest residents to use caution in getting their mail after the discovery of 6 pipe bombs in Nebraska. Even in Illinois, on Friday in Iowa, 6 people were injured. Now, the pipe bombs, this is the new anthrax of the of Homeland Security. Is Tom doing a good job, do you think, Paul?
Hard to tell, quite frankly. And the one thing that I'll look at is really the transportation, the airport issue. I've been traveling quite a bit, and every airport I go into, the security measures are dramatically different. I mean, every single one. Some of them, your luggage is being pulled aside. They're going through every single item that you have there. Other ones, you're just barely walking through a metal detector, and it's disconcerting. And so I think that on that front in particular, I don't see the evidence that anything's sort of happening there. I'd like to see more consistency in terms of the safety measures that are across the country.
Well, the only way you'd see if anything happened was if something happened bad, and we certainly want that again. I mean, I'm certainly a civil liberties sort of guy, and I don't think any of this infringes upon that. I feel secure that they're doing the checks that they're doing. I think it's going fairly well.
Well, let me ask you, the White House said last week that, that Mr. Ridge should not have to appear before the Congress, and that is he was called in by Robert Byrd of West Virginia to answer to some of this Homeland Security and where's the taxpaying money going. The White House says he's not in the cabinet; he shouldn't have to go to Capitol Hill.
There are things that you don't have to do, but that you should probably do anyway. And
you disagree with the president?
You know, I agree with the president that he does not have to. But I quite frankly, if I were advising him, I'd say, you know what, go ahead and answer a few questions. Now, having said that, he has a good argument, which is he doesn't want to reveal too much about what's going on because then you're tipping off the terrorists.
And then the American people might know how their money's being spent. We wouldn't want that to happen.
Well, I think we can see at the airports partly how it's being spent. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that they're this is a big project. I mean, trying to protect this nation from terrorism is a big project, and we have to be very careful about our civil liberties. But
there's one airport security measure that we've known will be effective in making passengers more secure since the Libyan hijacking.
Arming the pilots?
And that is positive bag match. And it won't happen because the airline industry won't let it happen. That is the one measure, making sure that every person actually claims their bag and says, that bag is mine, before they get on the plane. And it won't be put in place. All that will be put in place is the same sound and fury. Because the truth is, we want to make people feel better about security without making people more secure.
Well, bag matching isn't going to help if the terrorists are willing to commit suicide. That's based on the old model of terrorists that want to survive for another day, the kind of terrorism we faced decades ago. I think most of the security measures we're actually seeing probably don't have too much impact on the kind of terrorism we're facing. But there's other kinds of actions they're taking.
Will it make a difference with the federal employees now in place? Of course, not all across the country, but it's beginning to sort of mushroom.
We'll see. I mean, I think they're going to do their best to straighten this out. But what we found out was they were looking at hiring a lot of the same people who are in the private industry. So federalizing something is not always a solution.
It will cost more, though.
Yeah, it will cost more. But I think they're going about it the right way at this point.
But the thing is there really is this issue of consistency here. You're only as strong as your weakest link, and there are many. Look, it's a big, daunting challenge to have so many different ports that would, for example, you'd even be flying into this region here. So until we have some degree of consistency across the board, and that's really an area where I see Homeland Security, for example, needing to focus on, because you know anybody can get in any airport across the country and come this way and create the kind of destruction that we've seen.
But we keep focusing on the last thing. We've got pipe bombs going off in the Midwest because we're busy focusing on airport hijackers
or
anthrax in the mail.
Right. They are always going to be able to be one step ahead. Dean, let me ask you, don't you think the FBI is kind of shaky on this, along with Tom Ridge, because they have not been able to find where this anthrax is coming from? Is, you know, you can't take it to your local CVS pharmacy and mix that stuff up overnight. It has to come from certain labs, and they're saying that most of those labs on Army reservations, as well as these pipe bombs.
Well, most of what the FBI has done over the years has been completely different. They're not trained or planned for this type of security problem in the past. In fact, you read constantly that all they used to do was try and catch people after the crime. They weren't really involved in prevention. And so this is an example where the government's police power really hasn't been based on where we need it to be all these years. And so now they're trying, I think they're genuinely trying, but they don't have the knowledge and the background they need for the threat.
Telephone number 301-230-0980, #980, and Verizon Wireless System. If we're discussing something and moved on to another topic, you want to discuss the last topic, give us a call. We don't care. We'll go back. I mean, that's how flexible we are. We only have about 8 more minutes, so get your call in now. 301-230-0980, #980, and a Verizon Wireless System. Very quickly, Tom Daschle, let me get a grade, A, B, C, D, F, G, whatever. What would you give him?
Oh, nobody in Congress gets anything.
I'm sorry. I had my grade ready.
Never mind.
Okay, let's clear this up. Tom Ridge, security czar.
Oh, it's just not applicable yet. We can't see.
He doesn't have the infrastructure. He doesn't have the authority. I'd give him a C for effort.
Seriously, though, the course isn't completed yet. I'm going to wait till the end of the semester to give the grade. I think he's working hard.
I'll tell you after he talks to Congress.
After
I hear what he's actually doing, then I'll tell you. I have a question for Paul and Jim. Bobby Ehrlich has come out in favor of those juvenile justice boot camps that we love so much in Maryland that Kathleen Kennedy Townsend put in place in the first place. Both of the candidates have come out in favor of that, and I think Spears the only candidate in this race who doesn't favor these boot camps. So I was just wondering if you guys could talk about that a little bit.
Boot camps are great. I'm for them 100%.
When you're dealing with juvenile justice issues, it's a big challenge. How do you deal with kids so that you create a future for them, but at the same time teach them that, you know, right from wrong effectively. And I think the boot camps are a good idea. I just think that they need to be implemented correctly. We've had some problems in the past.
The little girl in Montgomery County who committed suicide?
Well, that's not because of a boot camp.
Yeah, it was actually because of where she was put.
People commit suicide. Oh, it's not because of that. People commit suicide all the time.
The abuse from the camp directors?
Well, as I said, look, we're seeing abuse in all kinds of institutions across this country. And those kinds of mistakes are made. And the key for us is to follow up and ensure that safeguards are put in place that those things aren't happening. I don't think you throw out the baby with the bathwater here. I just think you fix you tweak the parts that aren't working.
Let's talk with TJ in Tacoma. Good morning, TJ.
Morning. How y'all doing?
Fine.
Great. I'm trying to make pancakes at the same time, so bear with me.
Good. You got about five guys here and a crew in here of two or three, so.
Hey, all right. You just come on down. I'll make them at the Cole Park.
That's what I love about America.
I'm really upset that the Maryland state legislature has failed again to pass medical marijuana laws.
Oh!
I think we know who this question is for.
I have a friend. He has a serious neuropathic disease. In other words, his nerves are dying slowly. And there's some chance that he only has 10 years to live. And I know for a fact that he's tried all sorts of painkillers. All sorts. Just dozens. Marijuana is the only thing that gives him relief. And I think this is a human compassion issue. And
okay.
When is it going to happen?
I'd like to just thank Delegate Dembro and Delegate Murphy for spearheading this legislation for the last 3 years, coming across the aisle to realize that it's about people and it's about sick people. And I'd like to really send some brickbats at the chair of the Judiciary Committee who just won't let it happen.
Okay.
Wait. Just so that we are clear on the facts here, the medical marijuana bill did in fact pass out of the House and out of the Judiciary Committee. It was defeated in the Senate in the Judicial Proceedings Committee.
Committee.
Yeah, Don. But just to be clear, because it's important
right.
for folks to know that
because
there
it is the first time it has gotten out of the House this year.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And I just to let the caller know, I was a co-sponsor of that piece of legislation, have been for the past couple of years. And I think you're absolutely right, and we have to do better. But there has been a great deal of momentum. It did get out of the House. It did reach the Senate. Was defeated there. It's a little bit more of a conservative
and
body.
And I just asked
can I go
ask
to Rockville for Shannon? Because she's standing by. We only don't want to lose Shannon. Shannon, are you there?
I am.
Go right ahead.
I had a question for the Democrat, not throwing the baby out with the bathwater with the boot camps. Given the widespread abuse in those boot camps, let's assume for a sec your child was criminally inclined. Would you actually feel safe sending your child there?
Look, I got to tell you that I think there have been some mistakes and some problems in the past.
Okay.
I agree with you, and it's unacceptable. And what we need to do is to make the changes that we have been making. I don't think it's been quite as quickly as it could be. But we need to move further into correcting those problems so that nobody is abused and that we are protecting our children. At the same time, creating an environment where they can succeed as they go on in their lives.
Let's do some round robin quick answers here because we have some things I'd like to get your comments on. One, the Bush White House. Unemployment is up 6%, first time since 1994. Slow economic recovery scares companies to expanding by hiring more employees. Very quickly, guys, is the economy in trouble still?
It's probably. It's not crashing completely, but it's not a strong recovery either. People just don't know where it's going.
Okay.
Until the administration figures out that you can't increase spending and lower taxes at the same time, I think we're going to have some problems.
Look, the Bush recovery leading from the Clinton recession last year. The economy tanked in the second half of Clinton's last year. The tax cuts have brought us back, and I'll tell you what's slowing the economy down is Democrats continually talking about how they want to eliminate those tax cuts.
Rick in Arlington, help me out, please.
How you doing, young fella?
Fine. Go right ahead.
Okay. I used to work for WRC News Film Crew way back when.
Okay. You got about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. Dealing with the marijuana thing. There was a gentleman on Capitol Hill back then used to get from the government marijuana because he had glaucoma problems. And I was just wondering what you have to say about that. And he used to get it from the federal government.
Okay.
They've severely curtailed that program.
Okay.
Yeah, my understanding is today that's illegal.
They've cut out all that federal marijuana distribution and have switched to other drugs.
Gentlemen, I have another question for you very quickly. You can take 30 seconds to answer this. Yasser Arafat, no longer under Israeli siege, continues to control his Palestinian stronghold. What will this do for the whole thing in the Mideast very quickly? Helpful or not helpful?
They've come to the brink of war, and hopefully that'll bring them to the brink of peace.
I hope they're backing away.
I hope it slows down the momentum towards violence, but we're not really seeing the long-term process we need.
Paul, very quickly.
Now they've got to do the hard work and sit down and negotiate a peace.
And one more question. Our dear Mayor Anthony Williams gave a big fundraiser for Connie Morella. The Democrats are just upset all around, but Mayor Williams says, hey, it's best for the city, not for the party. Later for the party. Who in the heck cares about a party?
Disagree. It's not in the interest of his city, and I think when we have the Democrats have control of the House of Representatives, he'll feel differently, and I think he made a mistake.
He's got to work with both parties. He comes by Congressman Tom Davis's Christmas party all the time.
As long as a Republican Congress controls your trash pickup, I think you have to give credit where credit's due.
Well, we call him Republicrats for a reason. I think he seems to be the mayor of two wards, and so he's focusing on...
Thank you very much, gentlemen. You guys are too much. That's all. In closing, my dear friends, if I can take a few seconds, I just want to remind everybody that you can call 301-645-0509. That number is very important. Please help the people of Southern Maryland. 301-645-0509. Go down and volunteer. Do what you can. I want to thank those who helped to put it together this morning. Our technical producer is Jonathan Lee. Laurie Klein is our administrator. Jason Feller is our public affairs assistant. Our simulcast operator. I understand is Kenny Franklin, I believe, this morning. Angela Stevens, our announcer. Written and produced by yours truly, Jerry Phillips. Metro Talk is in a big 100. And Sports Talk 980 public affairs presentation. Clear Channel Radio in Washington, D.C. Till next time. Much peace, much love.